You don't have to kick doors down. You don't have to, you know, some people are out politicking and scheming and backbiting and all kinds of stuff going on to try and maneuver themselves into a position where they can take a particular position that they would like to have. I want to tell you that God will open the doors for the ministry that He's called you into.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
I haven't seen you lately. How have you been? Where have you been?
I've been busy. I'm juggling a lot of plates right now.
Well, we miss seeing you.
I miss you all as well, but there's a lot I need to get accomplished. I've got my eyes on the prize.
Well, judging from the puffiness of your eyes, you look like you could use some rest.
You know what they say, no rest for the weary.
The sad truth is that many of us are running ourselves ragged, chasing after the things of life. Some are things that we need, and others are things that we don't need, but we want anyway. Today's teaching reminds us that if we seek after God, He'll add all the other things.
I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to that portion that was read earlier, 1 Samuel chapter 9, as we continue taking a look at this portion of Scripture and working our way through this book. 1 Samuel chapter 9, we're going to take a look at some of the verses at the end, the second half of this chapter, as we continue the story of Saul and his encounter with Samuel. And I want to, while you're turning to that, just say a word, first of all, of explanation that we need to hold up Jamie. She called this morning and said she was not feeling good, and that's why she's not here. And being thin on the piano, we're finding ourselves a little shorthanded today. But the Lord knows, and we just need to pray for more backup, especially with Christina and the little one now. You know, we need more backup on that piano. So let's make that a matter of continued prayer. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Is everybody there? Yeah. Let's pray for ask God for some help. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You for Your word. We pray that You would speak to us clearly, challenge us, and we'll give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. The Scottish writer George MacDonald wrote about a woman who was walking in the woods and came across a small child who was lost and crying there in the woods. And she picked him up and carried him out of the woods, and with the help of the police found his parents. And the story, as he sees it, he points out the parallel between this woman's experience and finding this little child to our Savior, Jesus, as He came to seek and to save those of us that are lost. And, you know, this account here, as we continue this story of in Samuel, and we see Saul. Last time we looked at Saul as he was introduced to us in his father's house. And you remember that his father, at the beginning of the chapter, his father sent him out to go find the donkeys. Everybody remember that? And so he was chasing around the mountainside looking for these donkeys and got sidetracked until in verse 6 we find that the servant that he was traveling with says there in verse 6, "Look now, there in this city, a man of God, and he is an honorable man, and all that he says surely comes to pass. So let us go there." In other words, let's stop chasing the donkeys and let's seek after and search after God's instructions through God's man. And what a valuable turn of events that was. And such an important turn of events that you and I need to think about. I mentioned last week that we are so many times on the rat race. You know, we're on a treadmill in life and we're running hard and going nowhere. And we need to stop and think about what we're chasing. What donkeys are we running after? And sometimes we need to just come to our senses, almost like they did in verse 6, and say, where am I going? What am I doing? Why don't we stop and search out God? Why don't we chase after Him rather than chasing after the donkeys. Now, I did point out last time that, you know, there's nothing wrong with chasing the donkeys. You know, that everybody needs a donkey or two to make ends meet. I mentioned that. But the reality is that that God needs to be first and foremost in our lives. And that's the conclusion that they came to. And so from that point on in the rest of this chapter, Saul is now chasing after God's instruction through God's man. And they're trying to find that. And if you look at verse 14, while Saul chased after the instruction of the Lord, it says, there was Samuel. I like that. Does everybody see that? Is that in your Bible? There was Samuel waiting for him. God had spoken to Samuel, and there he was already waiting. You know, I want you to know that you don't have to run a marathon to find the Lord in your life. You don't have to sweat and you know, you don't have to run through barriers to get to God speaking to you in your life. The fact of the matter is that he's right there waiting to meet us. He's right there waiting to get to know us. He's right there waiting to minister to us and to speak to whatever needs we have in our lives. And so you don't have to go very far. You don't have to run through brick walls. He's right there. If we will chase after God, if we'll leave the donkeys and our concern for the donkeys and chase after God, then when we seek after him, we'll be able to find him. God will bring the people into your life to help you find what you're looking for. Anybody here want to talk to Jesus? Anybody here want to get to know him, find him in your life? I want to tell you that if you put him first in your life and chase after him first and foremost, that he will make himself available and be found by you. And so that was the experience here that Saul had. Saul and his servant, as soon as they changed course, as soon as they decided that they wanted to pursue finding God, there was Samuel. You know, it sounds like it's coincidence. Somebody might chalk it up to luck and happenstance. But I want to tell you that God is a sovereign God, and he arranged it so that he was right there through Samuel, ready to meet him. You know what I think of as I read that verse and think of that whole issue? As I think of the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. In fact, it's worth taking a turn to. In Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11, we have the story of the prodigal son. And it's a great story to just rehearse. And one of the things that jumped out at me as I looked at Luke chapter 15 are all the verbs that are there. The things that son did. And if you take a look at some of those verbs as you go through the story, Luke chapter 15, starting at verse 11. He says, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his son, Father, give me the portion of goods that fall to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son, this is one of the verbs I want you to notice. First of all, he gathered all together. He heaped everything to himself. He didn't give anything to his brothers and sisters. He didn't distribute to the poor. He didn't look to see who else was in need. He gathered everything to himself. It's one of the things that jumps out at you is you talk about self-centered. That was the height of self-centeredness right here. He gathered all to himself and then journeyed to a far country and left his house, left his home, left his father, left those who cared about him to journey to a far country. And then the result is, the next verb there, he what? He wasted his possessions with prodigal living. Now, of course, we could have predicted all of that. You know, it's like one, two, three, two follows one and three follows two. And it was pretty predictable. But to see that progression played out is amazing. And so, of course, in verse 14 at the end, he began to be in want. And then he went, and after he's in want, he's in this far country, he's away from his home, he wasted his possessions. He joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, I don't know the particulars of what that means, that he joined himself, and we don't get a lot of detail in the text, whether it was some kind of a bondservant relationship or some kind of a servanthood that he attached himself to this person to work in his household. But he joined himself to this citizen in the country, and it's apparent that this citizen didn't really love him the way his father did. Amen. You know, it became apparent pretty quickly that he gave him a job to feed the swine and take care of stuff. And he was there working like the lowest of the low in that household. And then look at verse 17. He also came to himself. I like that. In fact, just like Saul and his servant in verse 6 of chapter 9 came to themselves and decided, what are we doing chasing after these donkeys? Let's pursue God. This prodigal son out there in a far country, after he had wasted his possessions, he also came to himself. You know, I look at so many people, and it just seems to be that God has to sometimes do stuff in our lives to smack us in the face so that we will come to ourselves. Isn't that true? I mean, I got my own testimony. And for some reason, you know, the ear, you know, I always say, my father says, a word to the wise is sufficient. But for some reason, for so many of us, a word is never sufficient enough. And we got to get smacked over our head in order for God to get our attention, for us to do what's right, for us to come to ourselves. And that was the story here. But he did. He came to himself. And he decided, he says there in verse 17, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'm going to arise and go to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He was willing to even take a low road and become a servant to his father. But take a look at what happened. In verse 20, it says, as he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And what? Stood there and waited for him? Is that what it says? Ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now, you know, I need you to understand that that prodigal son didn't have to run all the way up the hill to find his father. His father ran to meet him. All he had to do was come to himself, decide that he's heading back to into relationship with his father, and his father was there running after him to meet him. I need you to understand that wherever you are in your spiritual journey, whatever ups and downs you're going through, whatever issues you face, you don't have to run the full marathon to get back to God. If you decide that today, you know, you come to yourself, and you decide, I'm going to stop chasing the donkeys and I'm going to pursue God in my life, I want to tell you, God is running down the hill to meet you, wherever you are, whatever your situation is. Amen. That's worthy of some praise. I'm glad I didn't have to run all the way up the hill to get to my Heavenly Father, that he came and met me and reached out to me. And we need to pray for each other in that regard as well. So when you chase after God, he responds. But I also want you to see in back in 1 Samuel chapter 9, in verses 15 and 16, that while Saul chased after the instruction of the Lord, God was there before they even arrived. Look at verses 15 and 16. He says, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people before, because their cry has come to me." Here he was talking to Samuel the day before Saul got there, and he was making arrangements and working things out for Saul even before he got there, from the day before. You know, I've often used the quote that God is into tomorrow before you get there. And sometimes we just say it because, you know, it's a nice saying to say. But the fact of the matter is, it's true that God is already working it out. He's already into tomorrow. He's already there doing his thing before we even get there. That was Saul's experience. And this is a great example of this. When you are seeking to know and obey God's will for your life, he's going to go ahead of you and make a way even when there doesn't seem to be a way. And you know what? My testimony is that God will build all the necessary bridges. He will establish all the required contacts. He will take down all the prohibiting barriers. He will do whatever he needs to do. He's already into this week working it out. And there have been multiple times in my life when I have been fretting over how it's going to work out, whether it's a payroll that needs to be made or a bill that needs to be paid or some issue that has to be dealt with. There have been all kinds of stuff. And while I'm worrying about it, the check's already in the mail. Amen. And I need us to understand that we serve a sovereign God who is into tomorrow before we get there. Saul found that out. Saul learned that lesson. Some of us still have to learn that lesson. Some of us have to learn it multiple times in order for it to sink in that we serve a God, a wonderful God, who's there and he's working it out for us. Isn't it great to serve a sovereign God? Somebody needs to worship him. Somebody needs to just praise him for being such a good God, a wonderful God. And that's the God that we serve, the God of the Bible. And so I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Many times he supplies our daily bread. And while we see our daily bread and we're still worrying about tomorrow's bread and where tomorrow's meal is going to come from and next month's rent is going to come from, God is already there working it out. And so our focus needs to be to chase after God, to serve him, to follow him. And being a sovereign God, he's going to work it out. I have said before, you know, my definition of prosperity, right? Somebody. I love when I ask for these definitions back, because I know everybody wrote them down in their notebook as I was giving it to you. Listen to me, I'll give it one more time, and I'll probably say it 100 more times after this. Prosperity is when God provides you everything you need to do what he's called you to do. It's when God gives you everything you need to do what he's called you to do. And you know, if you are Franklin Graham or Billy Graham, or something, maybe you need hundreds of thousands of dollars every month to come in to do what God's called you to do. Or maybe you just need $20 a week. But whatever it is that God has called you to do, prosperity is when God provides what he's called you to do. And so that's what we can look forward to. And God is working it out for your prosperity and your success in your ministry. But then notice also verse 17. Verse 17 says, "So when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you. This one shall reign over my people.'" So while Saul was chasing after the instruction of the Lord, God was opening doors for the call he had on his life. Now, I want us to not run over this because I think it's a very important point for all of us to stop and take note of. There's a wonderful lesson to be learned here. You don't have to knock down doors to find ministry that God's calling you into. You don't have to kick doors down. You don't have to, you know, some people are out politicking and scheming and backbiting and all kinds of stuff going on to try and maneuver themselves into a position where they can take a particular position that they would like to have. I want to tell you that God will open the doors for the ministry that he's called you into. I'm a witness. You don't have to kick a door down. You don't have to talk bad about somebody. You don't have to do any of that stuff. You just seek after God. You just search after him. You chase after God, and he'll be into tomorrow, not only working out the resources, but he'll be into tomorrow opening the doors and closing the doors and making sure that you're walking into the situation that he wants you to walk into. And so our job then is simply to chase after God. Our job is simply to discover what it is he wants us to do and walk in his will. And he will take care of the rest. I've heard of all kinds of situations. You know, you wouldn't believe some of the stories that come out of some churches today. With all the stuff that goes on, all the politics and all the issues that people face. It's unbelievable. It's almost as though we don't believe God anymore. If God is the one calling us, then this is his work. He's the one that's going to open the doors. And our job is simply to follow after him. Amen. Heard about three amens. That's good. So God did not give you a gift and then not make room for you to exercise it. And, you know, that's one of the arguments. I don't want to go too far astray, but I do have a few minutes here. I get touch on a controversial issue. But that's one of the arguments that is used, you know, when people talk about women pastors. One of the arguments that's used is that, well, God has gifted some women to preach. And I say, absolutely. If God has gifted you to preach, you need to preach. Amen. That's right. You heard Pastor Tony Hart said it.
Just before Dr. Hart returns for the close of today's teaching, here's an offer just in time for the upcoming celebration of Mother's Day. It's the Abundant Grace Mother's Day bookmark and pen gift set. It has a beautiful floral design on the front, which features the Bible verse from Ephesians 1:2, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." The back of the bookmark focuses on the stillness and the calm we find when we look to Jesus to lead us through life. The matching pen also references the Bible verse. This gift will bring joy to the hearts of the moms and special women in your life. It's our gift to you just for the asking. Our contact information is GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. Our web address is www.gogfministries.org. Or you can call us by phone at 215-361-8111. Now let's return for the close of today's message.
If God's gifted you to preach, you need to preach. And God has gifted some women to preach. And they need to be preaching. But the issue is, there's a time and a place for everything. And so just because you're gifted to preach doesn't mean you take any position in the church to exercise that gift. Amen. And so I always use the illustration. I love Dottie Worth on the radio, Elizabeth Elliot, you know, Kay Arthur, some great women that preach the word. They probably preach to more people in a week than most pastors do. But you know, if I were to ask Dottie Worth to come here on a Sunday morning at 11 o'clock and preach, you know, she wouldn't come. Because she understands, even though she preaches more times in a week than most preachers, that there's a time and a place to exercise the gift. Amen. Now, there are some that would come. They would have no qualms about it. But we won't invite them. But the fact of the matter is that just the argument about God gifting us is not a valid argument. If God has gifted you to sing, you need to sing, but don't stand up while I'm preaching and start singing. There's a time and a place to exercise the gift. And all of us need to be aware of that. But God opens up the doors. He makes room for our gifts. He opens up the doors and creates opportunity for us to exercise those gifts. And so if you're here and you have a particular gift, you just need to chase after God. You just need to seek after him and just watch how he works. And he makes room for those gifts to be exercised. Amen. Let me jump back to my outline. Right. I get too far off course. So he opens doors, he closes doors, he creates opportunities, and our job is to chase after him. Let me just make a little broader application on this point, because sometimes the issue for us is jobs and health, family situations. Sometimes we, you know, it's not ministry all the time. But the same principle is true, that if we seek after God, if we put him first in our lives and we search after him, that he's going to go ahead, and we don't necessarily have to fret over all the stuff that goes on, because God is going to be there. We can trust him to do the right thing. We can trust him to open all the right doors, and we can trust him to take us through the situation. He is sovereign. Now, that doesn't mean that it's always going to work out the way we want it to work out. Sometimes he's got to take us through the deep waters. Sometimes it's through the flood. Sometimes it's through the fire. But he knows what's best, and he's going to open the right doors and lead us and guide us and do what's best. And we can trust him. And so I would just want to challenge your thinking today. Are you willing to seek after the instructions of the Lord? Are we at a place where maybe this morning we can come to ourselves, where we can decide to change direction and stop chasing the donkeys around the mountainside and pursue God in our lives? Put him in first place.
We are so grateful that you chose to join us today. We continue to pray that our ministry is a blessing to you. We also appreciate hearing from our listeners. Send us a note or give us a call, and don't forget to let us know how we can pray for you and yours. Once again, you can reach us at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA 19446. You can find us online at www.gogfministries.org or by phone again at 215-361-8111. For Dr. Tony Hart, our producer, Sam Butler, and the entire staff here at GOGF, I'm Sheila King, reminding you that the Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm.